This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
From ESPN Studios in Bristol, I took a little road trip today. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart out today, some family issues. We wish him the best. But as we do, when we go to the bullpen, we bring in the best. And that is Harry Douglas, who joins us right now. HD, what's happening, brother?
Nothing much, my man. Hahn, you know how much, I'll say how excited I get when we're able to do a show together. Because, you know, it's all kind of shenanigans go on. Like, we still get, we give the people the content that they need. Yep. But we give them the shenanigans that they need as well.
Mm-hmm. We all need that in life, yeah. Don't we? We can't take it too seriously. Middle of the day, we get you through it. And you know what, though? Middle of the day is one thing. Early morning, you need to ease me into the day. So I got a little issue with Adam Schefter. I love Adam Schefter. I mean, he's one of the best, right? He's the best of the best at what he does. But I was working out this morning, and I felt a twinge in my back, and I'm thinking a little too heavy on the deadlift maybe. I am getting old. I'm trying to prepare for this two-on-two, you know, get the legs strong. And so I'm thinking maybe it's just a little back twinge. But then I look, and I see that Adam Schefter at 5:50 a.m. this morning, which means you got up early just to do this. Adam Schefter tweeted this, everybody. NBA draft lottery is at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. That's all true, of course. Then he adds this part. Since landing Patrick Ewing, the Knicks have now gone 17 straight lotteries without improving their draft position. 7 times they fell back. 10 times they wound up where they were projected. Tonight expected to make it 18 straight. Why, Schefty? Like, why? Why do we need this?
Wow.
Like I'm catching unnecessary strays from Adam Schefter about a draft lottery tonight. I don't need this. Harry, I feel a certain way about this tweet. I feel like it was almost directed at me. Your thoughts?
Oh, Adam, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. When was the last time the Knicks made the playoffs again?
How dare you? You know very well. You know very well.
Yes, I have jokes today at 12 p.m., exactly 12:02 p.m., about to switch to 12:03. The last time the Knicks made the playoffs were last year. They lost to the Hawks. We'll leave it right there.
How'd the Hawks do this year? How did they sustain that great success, or was it an anomaly last year?
I am so glad you brought it up, because remember a tweet I sent? Something about the Hawks being in the something seed and, you know, a play-in situation. You was like, oh, they're in the play-in. Yes, they actually made the playoffs, huh?
Yeah.
Just like the Knicks did not do.
Right, but again, how'd they do once they got there?
Oh, they got punked by Miami. So they won, and I hate to say
that. So they won just as many rounds as the Knicks did this year, right?
None.
Equal. All right. You're right. That's where it's at. I'll tell you what, though. There is a draft lottery tonight. The Knicks, for those who just want to pick on me, fine. You want to join Adam Schefter? Join it. I don't even care at this point. The Knicks are in the 11th spot. They have like a 2% chance to win the lottery.
Man, there's
nobody's
a chance.
Nobody's expecting anything. Oh, yeah, of course.
There's a Listen to me. There's a chance. If Rich Strike can win the Kentucky Derby, at the odds that he won the Kentucky Derby. Listen, the Knicks have an opportunity. If you have a 1% chance, Knicks fans, I'm not going to let y'all be down in the dumps today. If you have a 1% chance, that's still an opportunity to have success. That's still an opportunity.
Probably not.
Mm. Yeah. I think Ben Simmons let us know.
Probably not.
Yeah, I agree, Ben. Probably not.
You know what? I don't know.
I don't either, Aaron. But at least, you know, look, the draft lottery is the convention of losers. Donnie Walsh said that many, many years ago. It's not a place you want to be. So whatever happens tonight happens, you move forward. So, again, that's at 8. But what we have right after that, of course, on the coverage, and it's 8 on ESPN, is the Eastern Conference Finals. The Conference Finals begin tonight in the NBA, and we have the Heat, and we have the Celtics, and we have a Final Four that is a real compelling one for several reasons. But, Harry, as we get into Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless, I want to ask you, I want to look beyond these two series already. That's how I'm getting to that point now where I see who the Final Four is. What's the matchup I really want to see? Because I don't have a rooting interest, as you know. My Knicks team, we're in the lottery tonight. We're not anything else. So what am I rooting for at this point? Because the Celtics and Heat are bitter rivals of my team. I want both teams to lose. So I can't root for a team in the East. So I want to root for, what do I want to see in the finals? And I'm looking forward to this. I want to see Tatum. I want to see Luka. And I want to see the battle of the next generation happen in the finals. Ja couldn't get there. Maybe he will down the road. But I think you have two choices of compelling series. It's Tatum versus Luka, which obviously is Celtics-Mavs, but, you know, it's always about the headliners. Or it's the Golden State Warriors dynasty versus that Heat defense. That also could be a fun finals as well. If you had to pick one, you're like, I want that finals, which one would it be for you?
Oh, it would have to be Luka versus Tatum if I had to pick one. Mm-hmm. You look at both of these young superstars, and yes, I said it correctly, young superstars. Yeah. These two men are not stars. They are superstars, and they are taking over the National Basketball Association. You look at a guy like Luka, who has the size, can kill you with his facilitating ability, scoring, craftiness, because nothing he does is sped up. Everything is under control. But then you look at a guy like Jason Tatum, who I think is top five one-on-one players in the NBA on the offensive end.
Overall?
Yes.
Okay.
But what we've seen lately of him, not that he couldn't play defense beforehand, but what we've seen him do lately is take it to another notch defensively. And if you was to ask me who is the best player left in the NBA right now.
What?
Who are you choosing?
Steph Curry.
No. In these playoffs?
Yeah.
That's who you taking?
The best player left in the NBA is Steph Curry.
Yeah. I'm not taking him though.
Oh, you're saying it's Tatum. You have every right Tatum because he's been phenomenal. He just went toe to toe with Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you have every right to make a case for that. I'm just like, the minute you said, I didn't even let you finish the sentence because I knew where you're going. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. as long as Steph Curry's still alive and breathing, and obviously still his team is still alive in the playoffs, he, to me, is the best player. But also, some other people might tell you, you're nuts. It's Luka Doncic. Like, Luka and what he's done so far in these playoffs and how hard. You talk about hard to kill. Like, this guy in an elimination game. I mean, you've got to run him over, chop him up, put him in the wood chipper, Fargo reference, and like scoop it up, put it in a bag, put some concrete in it, mix, throw it into the ocean, and let it sink to the bottom, and then shoot a torpedo at it. And maybe, just maybe, Luka will then finally lose an elimination game.
Hard
to beat.
I don't even think he would lose then because, listen, hon, what he has, the mentality that Luka has, he has some piss and vinegar in his neck.
Oh, I like it.
You know what I mean? He has that piss and vinegar in his neck to not be denied. And what I love about him and what separates him from a lot of other people and a lot of superstars, I believe, is that he has that killer mentality. He doesn't care about the next guy or the opponent.
Think about
I'm here to dice you up.
Harry, and I think this transcends all. Like, you're an NFL player, right? You can see it. Like, it's like he always says, it just looks right. That's one of Key's favorite things when he sees a play. Nah, he just looks right. And you can hear the way people talk about Luka, the way you're saying it too. You're a guy that understands a performance position as wide receiver. You get what you've got to make a play. You got to be a playmaker. You got to be part of the show. All those things. So what you're seeing, what a lot of other people are seeing, this is what everybody's seeing about Luka Doncic. Listen to this. This is Derek Harper, who's a superstar point guard for the Mavericks, also for the Knicks. We had him on the show yesterday. He had this to say about Luka Doncic and really just how good he is.
If I was getting ready to start up a franchise, I would take Luka Doncic over any player in this league. And I know that's saying a lot. You got Jokic, you got Embiid. You have all this great talent in the league. The league is in great shape, by the way. You have all this talent. None of them can do what Luka Doncic can do.
There's just something special about him. But you mentioned Tatum, and you would take Tatum. And it's hard to argue that one, too, because Luka's not a great defensive player. I think that's fair to say.
That's my call. That's my main call.
Tatum can give you the other side of it. So here's Cedric Maxwell, Cornbread, of course, Celtics radio analyst. He was on with KJM, and he was talking about what makes Tatum so special, why he's already in the conversation among the best players in the game.
I think he's there now. I think when you're talking about opening up the room, and you and I have been there, we've all been there, Keyshawn, Max, you've been there when you, as he's saying, you go to a club, man, and they're popping bottles in your area. Like, man, we are cool. And then you look up, oh, that's Jordan, that's Pippen, that's this person, that person. Yeah, there is another tier. And I think that he is at that level now. He has an arrogance and a confidence about him. He has a swagger that I haven't seen, you know, in a long time for a player with the Boston Celtics. He reminds me a lot of Paul Pierce with his cockiness. But I think he's, you know, he's a Duke Blue Devil cool guy. That, you know, you just under the surface, you're going, he is so cool, sometimes too cool for school.
And that was Cedric Maxwell talking about Jason Tatum. It's Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas, it's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Now, what he said there, comparing him to Paul Pierce, I actually think Luka plays more like Pierce. Everybody wants to do the Luka Larry Bird thing because Luka's white. Right, that's just the easy thing to do. It's like,
call a spade a spade.
Oh, he's a white guy, so let's just...
Larry Bird!
Compare him to Larry Bird. No, man. He's like Paul Pierce. Like a very similar, just a physical game. He's got the swagger, like you heard Cedric talk about it when he's trying to compare him to Tatum. I think Luka really compares more to Paul Pierce, but I'll give you another comparison. We're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals begin tonight. It's the Celtics and the Heat. I'm already looking past the Heat. Not because I don't think they can win. They could. But it's because I'm looking for what I want to see. And I think it would be amazing to see a finals with two young stars, Tatum and Luka Doncic, going head-to-head. I think for the league, that'd be great because we're all trying to figure out where the league's going to go once LeBron moves on and, you know, KD's gotten older and, you know, where does the league go from here and whose hands is it going into? These two players certainly are in that conversation. How about this from your NFL colleague, Dan Orlovsky? He compared Luka to Joe Burrow, quarterback from the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that's a pretty accurate parallel. Do you?
I agree with it because when you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, he's a guy that you see him in his post-game interviews. He has his shade on. Mm-hmm. He has his little chain on, right? He win the national championship. He's smoking his cigar.
Yeah.
Not giving any, you know, little beep.
I got you.
Don't care about anything, man. They want to go out there and assassinate. Well, let me not say that word. They want to go out there and just tear their opponents apart. They don't care anything about anything else, right? They care about what their team is doing, what they have to do, and the success of their organization. They don't care nothing about what the next man has going on. He has it, too. We call it that it factor.
Yes.
Hold on. You know what? Really quick. I have a pencil in my mouth, huh? You want to know why?
Why?
I'm going to pretend like it's a damn dog bone. They have that dog in them.
It is something certainly to see. All right, we got your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I gave you two options. You can either get a finals coming out of these conference finals. I know they haven't started yet. I know, but you got to watch for something. What are we watching for? What are you rooting for? I'm rooting for me, and what I'm rooting for is a Tatum-Doncic final. Your other option, do you want to have that classic Heat defense grinder, the Heat culture versus the Warriors culture and that offense? That could be also be a very compelling finals. Which one would do it for you? All right, that's all Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, in about 30 seconds, we're also going to get into another topic, which is the fallout of Patrick Beverley's, I mean, you talk about some Scud missiles yesterday. He's back on the network today saying some stuff that Harry and I are like, what? So we got to discuss that. We got your calls. But first, Harry, you got this from Straight Talk?
Yeah. Let's talk that straight stuff, man. Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. Nah, hon, it actually feels really good. It feels
How
great.
Good.
You should try it. Yeah, you should try it, my man. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless. Now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot, a nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn. Bart's got off today. We've got Harry Douglas in with us today. Already taking shots. I love it. You come in firing. I'll give you that. You come in firing. I like that. That's how it's supposed to be. But you know who else came in firing?
Talk to me.
Yesterday, it was a pleasant surprise on Get Up and some of the other shows, the morning radio show, KJM, then also on First Take. You love seeing current players jumping in to the conversation about the league, because sometimes you feel like you get really good insight from a current player who, you know, isn't afraid to tell you what he thinks or how it is. And Patrick Beverley sat in the big chair yesterday and spoke it. And there were some things that he said that you're like, all right, yeah. I mean, off of the series where the Mavs upset the Suns, a shocking blowout loss in Game 7 at home. And he talked the real talk about Chris Paul. But it just started to get deeper and deeper. And you were like, man, no Moss. In a way, it felt like that. No Moss. So a couple of things that he said, if you missed it, Harry.
Settle the hell down.
I mean, right? Simmer down now. Here's Patrick Beverley talking about Chris Paul and how everybody knows he can't defend.
He should have fouled out. He can't guard. He literally can't guard.
He can't guard. He can't. Chris Paul can't guard anybody? Is that what you say?
Did you see that? No, he can't. Everyone knows that.
Excuse me. No. I don't know that. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
Because you haven't suited up. You know, guys don't like to tell you all the truth. You know that. Because they're scared what you're going to take with it.
No. He's right about that. They will lie.
I don't care.
He's honest. They will lie. That is true. He's not lying about that.
Man, CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know that. Everybody know that.
He can't guard anybody.
What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that.
I mean, Harry, he called the man a cone.
I think that was a bit much, though. That was a bit much, man.
Oh, you
that
think? Was a bit much. All right, because, well, all right, so you would think then Patrick Beverley, back on the network again today, might have seen some of the fallout. Said, you know what? Maybe I took this a little too far. Maybe I shouldn't have said all this. So they had him on KJM this morning. And so, you know, P. Bev, you know, you want to walk back some of this stuff?
I'm not tripping. You know, it's part of the game. I just don't like the part where, you know, you can defend somebody who, you know what I'm saying, who getting cooked. Westbrook comes out, Pat Bev trick y'all, woo woo. Ain't then nobody stand up for me. And they know I be locking up they homies. Nobody stand up for Pat Bev and say, man, don't be talking about Pat Bev like that. You got these NBA players, ex-NBA players speaking about other people's money and what they get and what they shouldn't get. But you guys are the same people that when it was time to get your deal, you wouldn't want nobody to do that. But also the same people when James Harden does sign the max, go be the first ones tweeting, congrats, bro, well deserved.
All right, we're going to get to that last part in a second. Wow. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But what is he talking about with people that were coming at him? Well, here's Matt Barnes reacting to Patrick Beverley.
The disrespect I saw from Pat Beverley earlier today, you know, as reporters, you know, as part of the media, we have a job to be critical. But I think there's a thin line between being critical and disrespecting. And I feel like what Pat Beverley did today to Chris Paul was completely disrespectful and out of the line. And Pat Beverley's talking like he's that guy. You're not that guy. Plain and simple. Chris Paul played terrible this year, and his numbers are still better than your career numbers have ever been. So I just think you have to understand, Chris is a 12-time All-Star. He played terrible. First time, all defense 9 times, 7 times first team all defense. He'll be a Hall of Famer. Pat Bev and I were similar type role players. They don't talk about us when we go. They're going to talk about CP3 when he's done. And I just think the disrespect we saw earlier today on the ESPN show need to be checked because he was way out of pocket.
Pretty strong comments there from Matt Barnes as well. And when you talk about, you know, the numbers and everything else, I mean, it wasn't just Matt Barnes that was commenting on this stuff. I mean, how about Damian Lillard, who was watching, paying attention, and he wasn't happy with what he saw. And someone tweeted out Beverly's stats in the playoffs this year. 11 points a game, 4.8 assists, 3.2 rebounds in six games. And someone said, not going to lie, his stats aren't bad. And Damian Lillard retweeted it and said, because nobody guarding this man. And also talked about, you know, the as we mentioned, the disrespect. He said, bro acting on TV, acting like his word is law. Speaking on private convos and preying on MF's downfall. Ooh. This weird behavior, I ain't got a horse in the race. So Dame didn't like it either.
The private conversation thing. I'm with the private conversation thing.
Okay, listen, that's why I wanted to go with you now. You're a former player, but even just you know current players, and you have to do a job now that you're a former player. But how do you feel about a current player teeing off on a star the way Patrick Beverly did and has been?
I thought it was disrespectful, and like Matt Barnes said, there is a way to do a lot of things. Demeaning somebody and disrespecting them the way Pat Bev did Chris Paul, I don't think that's the way. Even if you do have some issue with him, there's a way to do everything. And when you look at a guy like Chris Paul, though, a guy who's respected across the National Basketball Association and has been respected, I grew up going to basketball camps with Chris Paul. My pops and his pops are cool. They talk to each other a lot, man. And Chris Paul put that work in, and he had to grind and get to where he is today. I remember him playing for Capel Magic from North Carolina, AAU basketball team. But CP3, you talk about a guy like Matt Barnes just said that's been first defensive team seven times, all defensive team nine times.
Yeah.
Everyone gets older. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan got older.
He's 37.
I didn't get
when this series ended. I didn't understand. And I started the show yesterday where I was like, this ain't about Chris Paul. The only narrative about Chris Paul is this guy's not like it's another chance to win a championship that goes out the window, and this might be the last best chance he gets.
It could be.
But I looked at that game and I thought, hey, D-Book, where are you? You're 25. Yep. This dude's 23 and he's in your building and he's laughing after every shot he makes, and you're 0 for everything. Where are you, dude?
Mikal Bridges.
Everybody, but I'm looking more at Devin Booker. This is your league going forward, bro. You are the you were fourth in voting for MVP this year, and you were on the best team in the league.
That's right.
And you gave me a nothing. You had no performance, no effort, no nothing. You let a guy come in your house and eat off your table, laugh, and leave. And you did nothing. Like, that told me more than I wanted to know about Devin Booker. And for the record, those who know this show know I'm a big fan of his. I always felt like he was such an overlooked star. But then that performance in a Game 7 when Luka walks in the building and does what he does and you don't have an answer? Like when Giannis tried to take over Game 6, Tatum started answering him. Like, oh, no, you're not taking this game away from us. We're getting a Game 7.
Not in Big Mama's house.
You know what I'm saying? Like at least Tatum was, like, you saw Giannis was getting it cooking, and Tatum's like, get me the ball. Nope, not going to happen. And I didn't see Devin Booker see, what was it, four straight shots that Luka started the game off, looking at the sideline, laughing, right? Yep. Looking at Lil Wayne, laughing.
Yeah.
Like, I never saw Booker say, get me the ball. Like, I'm going to put a stop to this. Let me stop the bleeding. So this is not about Chris Paul, but yesterday was certainly all about Chris Paul. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls. Also, more drama in the NBA of a player who's not in the playoffs. Has it been weighing heavily on Kyrie Irving's mind?
Ooh.
Yeah. It's called the guilt complex, and it's starting to come out. We'll discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and, of course, the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
You got to watch those car speakers now. Got to watch them. You don't want to turn them up too loud with something like this. That bass hits hard. It's Bart and Han, Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas in with us today, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll get to your calls. We've got the NBA Final Four. It's the conference finals. We're at that round right now, and tonight it begins. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics Heat, top two seeds down in Miami. Everybody on the coverage for ESPN tonight is thrilled. Why? Because you get to be in South Beach for a couple of days, Harry. So that's a good deal.
Well, I might be going there Thursday. Do a little work.
Oh,
I might. It's a might.
Oh, this
a
is
might.
Your, this would, is your I, excuse? Oh, well, you know, know. I got to get down and do some work. That's hilarious. Any reason you can. You're like Stephen A. It's like any reason you can to be in Miami, you'll make that reason. But we also have the draft lottery tonight. That's at 8 o'clock. So all you teams that are in the lottery, you're Rockets fans and Magic fans and Pistons fans and Pacers fans, all the Kings.
Knicks fans.
Yo, I'm gonna need you. I really am could've going left. To need you to settle down.
Could have left that out.
Really gonna need you to settle down.
But meanwhile, also for the offseason, look, the draft is going to be another year where it's not easy. There's no runaway. Number one, there's some decisions to make. But even for a team that's not in the lottery, big decisions to make. That would be the Brooklyn Nets. And the big decision, they've already committed to Ben Simmons. He is committed to them. They're all in on trying to just get him right. They have a whole offseason to do it. But what do they do with Kyrie Irving? And you've heard Sean Marks talk, and he's made it pretty clear. We've got to have everybody all in. You heard Amari Stoudemire, who was a coach under Steve Nash for the last 2 years, say it on Get Up earlier last week. And he said the same thing. He said to have that disconnect, the player is not there all the time. It messes with your season because there's some games he's there, some games he's not. You got to change your lineup. It just messes with you. And Kyrie Irving knows that he was, even by not being present, a distraction for his team. And he has to go on, Harry, like a bit of a, you know, redemption tour here through the media, doesn't he? I think he's got to, he realizes his profile, his image has been tarnished. And he will blame, he could blame us cockroaches in the media for it. But he knows that this is his own doing. So what you do is, you know, you now start talking about it, and that's what he's doing. So how about the latest about him? This is in the I Am Athlete podcast. He talked about why he wanted to be traded from Cleveland. We're going all the way back now. And he said that they told me their future plans, and I said, it's not for me. And so he just wanted out. He never got to talk to LeBron, he says, before it got out. But it goes beyond that, because even with LeBron, he looks back now. They had the one championship, and he said that they should have kept this team together. He blamed himself, said he wasn't mature enough. He said, quote, if I was in the same maturity line and understanding of who I am, and I look back, we definitely would have won more championships, because there would have been better man-to-man understanding about what I'm going through. I didn't know how to share my emotions, Kyrie said. I didn't know how to do that. So instead of sharing, I isolated myself. So he called himself immature, and that's why the Cavaliers didn't stay together with LeBron for a chance to win a lot more than that one championship they got on that 3-1 comeback against the Warriors in 2016. I will say this, Harry, then I'll yield you the floor to react to what Kyrie said. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Oh, man, huh? You're hilarious. But I will say this about Kyrie, and I hope a lot of young players took note of what he said, though, right? Because a lot of times...
That's very true.
A lot of times they don't understand how to self-aware and have that self-awareness of where they are, not as a basketball player, but as a person. And when you're young coming into the league, and nowadays in the NBA, these guys are even younger, right? They're still teenagers.
Yep.
There's a lot of growth that has to be done. And that's one of the things that Kyrie Irving is talking about. Listen, he had to grow in certain areas, and where he is now is not where he was during that time. And they could have won a ton more. Another thing is, we understand when you're young and you don't understand or comprehend things at a certain level, you're more closed-minded, right? You don't allow knowledge to come to you, or you don't accept the knowledge that you should have, or accept people telling you A, B, C, or D.
Like a role, to understand.
Exactly.
I think what he hasn't said really yet about why. It's accepting the fact that this is LeBron's team, not yours,
right?
And you are second to him, and you have to learn to be okay with it. That's why I always give Klay Thompson so much credit. I gave Jaylen Brown a ton of credit, especially early in the season when it's like, the Celtics got to break up Tatum and Brown. It doesn't work. And somebody had to say, you're the alpha, and I'm the supporting cast guy. Like, yep. Dwayne Wade had to do that with LeBron in South Beach when they all got together. And in the beginning, it was a mess. I mean, yep. I remember covering games down there where it's like, this is what they got all these three guys for? Like, they were 500 early in that, like 20 games in. And it was Dwayne Wade that had to say, I know this is my franchise. I was drafted here. I'm the guy that was born here. But LeBron's got to have the ball. He's got to be the man. And I've got to let him be that and back off. And once he did that, that's when they were just unstoppable. That's when they became great. So it is a place that a lot of – I'm glad you said it because it's true. I was obviously – I'm just joking around about the Captain Obvious thing. But you're right. Saying this is a very important lesson for a lot of young players in the league that might have another young star on the team, and they're sort of having a hard time figuring out, how do we make this work? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han. Alan on Harry Douglas today, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls, Harry. Oh, let's go to Frank in L.A. Frank, what's happening?
Robin, this is your moment to shine.
No, it's not on them. I will put them back on hold. And
hold?
Yeah, and then we'll just discuss. Wait. Oh, we have Frank now. Okay, what's happening, Frank?
Hello?
We got you, Frank.
Hey, what's up, boss? Hey, hold on. Let me go outside real quick. My bad. Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys. But, hey, I just want to call in and say that, hey, I tell you guys I called in last week talking about Jason Tatum? We're talking about, like, he had to get past Giannis to consider him top five.
Yeah, that's right.
I could already say he's already top five, baby. And then as well, too, as building a team, I'll take Jason Tatum over Luka all day in building a team. I mean, come on. If you guys, like how I told you guys, too, before, too, I told you guys if you're going to talk about being, number one player, you got to guard the number one player. And my boy took care of Giannis.
Well, I mean, I think he had some help, Frank. I mean, I appreciate the call. I mean, he definitely had some help because Al Horford did a lot there. Grant Williams did a lot as well. I mean, it wasn't Tatum taking all those charges. You know what I mean? Like, he had help.
I'm not going to let you do this. He shut down Kevin Durant when he had to shut down Kevin Durant.
Man, stop. Come on.
That's what he did.
Look, I'm as guilty of this as anybody because I love the star man. I grew up in the era of Bird versus Magic. So for me, it's always about that. Is it Bird versus Magic? Is it Jordan versus Isaiah? Like, it's all that stuff, right? Like, that's I grew up with that. But I'm not going to sit here and act like it was Tatum who locked up, you know, Kevin Durant and locked up Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, their team defense was phenomenal. Ime Udoka's, you know, his prep and obviously what they did defensively was also a big part of this too. But I'm for it. Now, look, he said it last week. He was right. He did say it's another pelt on the wall. And the next pelt on the wall for Jason Tatum, Harry, is the Heat defense. It's Jimmy Butler and the Heat defense. Can he put that one next up on the wall?
That's, I don't care what you say, hun. They put him in a straitjacket.
You're crazy. Man, more of this mayhem coming up.
Bart and Han.
Not cold in New York anymore. It's Bart and Han. Alan Han, Harry Douglas in with us today, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We also brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Speaking of smarter, Marcus Smart, probably going to be a game time decision. As tonight, Heat Celtics game one Eastern Conference Finals, full coverage on ESPN, ESPN Radio as well. But Smart has a bit of a midfoot injury that happened in game seven, and they're not certain yet about his availability. But that's basically it. Everybody else is available, Robert Williams and all that stuff. So I think it'll be a game time decision. They'll probably wait for that. But Harry, since you're here, I do want to ask you your thoughts on the cryptic tweets from Drew Brees. Your guy certainly knows that division.
Yes.
Does he see what's going on in the wide receiver room in New Orleans, as he tweeted, and legit say to himself, you know, this TV thing wasn't for me. And I got a little left in the gas tank if I got guys like that to throw to. It's like, how serious do you take this? Because Dennis Allen is telling us that he thinks he's messing with us.
Well, you look at a guy like Drew Brees, right? And you look at another quarterback that was in that same division that retired and came back in Tom Brady.
Yep.
Drew Brees, when you look at over his career, and I was going against the Saints during this time when they had Marquise Colston, a Robert Meacham and a Lance Moore, right? And those guys put up phenomenal numbers and did great things with Drew Brees as their quarterback. But if you're Drew Brees and you're sitting back and you know Michael Thomas is coming back, next thing you know, you see the New Orleans Saints trade up and take a guy like Chris Olave, who can beat you at all levels on the football field from the wide receiver position. But not only that, a guy that's from there, from Louisiana, and Jarvis Landry, he signs and comes back home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a better wide receiver group that Drew Brees has ever worked with than what I'm witnessing right now in New Orleans.
Really?
Yes.
So then, how about this? If you're the Saints, because again, as I said, Dennis Allen, new head coach, Sean Payton obviously stepped away. He said that like he hasn't had any conversation with Drew Brees. But if you're in that front office, are you saying, no, Jameis, our guy, we don't need this distraction. I don't want, you know, like, or do you say, somebody get him on the phone ASAP and see if he's serious?
See, now that's another tricky situation.
Right.
Because remember, I think it was Sean Payton last year brought it up. Hey, I'm trying to see if Drew wants to come back. And Drew was basically saying, no, I'm in the media thing. I'm okay.
Right.
But he did understand that he didn't have anything to work with, especially from the wide receiver position at that moment. But is it fair to Jameis? No. But one thing I've learned about being in the National Football League for 2 years, they don't give a damn about what's fair and mm-hmm. what's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's about winning. It's about getting those W's and having those wins. And what has been the MO for the New Orleans Saints the last 2 years? They've had the defense. They just needed the offense to complement them. Last year, Jameis Winston gets hurt, starts off doing very, very well, but then everything goes to shambles, right? The quarterback position was the main place to be highlighted. That and the wide receiver position. Now the wide receiver position is a strong point on that offense to go along with other pieces. Now should they rock and ride with Jameis Winston? Which I think they should, but you can't ignore the fact that Drew Brees
right.
Mentioned coming back. And it's something you have to consider because he is the same guy when Hurricane Katrina came and dismantled New Orleans in the state of Louisiana that put that city back on the map. He is a guy that won a Super Bowl with him. He has had a year off so his arm could take a break and get more rest. So it's something that you have to think about if you're in the front office as well.
And you need to know pretty soon. Like you're going to need to know pretty really soon. Like this is not something that you let linger into the summer. I wonder if he'll come out and say something at this point. But you do want it to know. Dan Graziano kind of shot it down. He kind of said, you know, that it's not something that he would he's well. I'll let you hear it. This is what Dan Graziano said on KJM about it.
I don't think it's realistic. I mean, this is a guy. He's 43. Didn't play last year. Last time we saw him play, wasn't particularly good, and he just had surgery on his left shoulder like a month ago or sometime within the last month. I think it's far-fetched. I think the pickleball thing is more realistic, honestly, for Drew Brees at this point in his career. And, you know, this is something that obviously made waves last night, but even just a quick text or call here and there, I didn't find anybody who thought him playing football again this fall was a legitimate possibility.
So then, I mean, if no one is getting the sense that this was real, that he was maybe just messing with some people, just having fun with it, who knows? But there are two teams in the league that really have quarterback situations that they don't have a real answer. One is Carolina and one is Seattle. If the Saints are moving on, if the Saints aren't interested, if you're Carolina or Seattle, even though you're also hearing, yeah, he's not that serious, do you still just like check anyway?
No, not at all. Because Drew Brees wouldn't go to any one of those organizations.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
I can't see
especially what he's meant to the New Orleans community and what he did for that organization. If Sean Payton's attached to it, there's a small possibility. If Sean Payton isn't attached to it, mm-hmm. there's a 1,000% chance of it being no.
Oh, I see. That's the other part of it, right? Wherever Sean Payton ends up, I thought it'd be in Dallas, but I think their quarterback situation is all set there in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Harry, if I told you that there was a 2-on-2 basketball game between friends. And the game was one game to 11. Would you say that's sufficient?
Yeah.
You think just one game to 11, that's sufficient?
Yeah.
Really? I don't. There's other rules, too, that we need to discuss. And we're going to do that with Jay Will next. We got to have it out with Jay Will about this ridiculousness.
Bart and Han.